has been said, the mind, once stretched by a new idea, can never go back to its original dimensions. Is there hope that we can stretch your mind a little bit today? So sit back and let it happen. In this series of lectures, we've been dealing with work and our attitudes toward it. I've used the term revolution in reference to what I call a worldwide depression in worker attitudes. We're calling for a radical change in these attitudes, for a great reconstruction of economic factors leading to world prosperity, beginning with you. There's a lot of talk about the entrepreneurs who made the commitment to take charge of their economic lives, launching out in a small business, investing their time, their talents, and their money. We've read of many phenomenal successes. We're dealing with something a little different than that. We've adopted the word intrapreneur, I-N instead of E-N, intrapreneur, in reference to those workers who have not left their jobs, but have changed their minds about them, changing their work without changing their jobs. The intrapreneur looks upon his work not just as a place to make a living, but as a place to make a life. It's a place of personal growth. The German educator, Friedrich Froebel, had a refreshingly positive sense of the cosmic process at work within the individual. I've been thinking how good it would be if his ideal of work could be articulated in our modern-day educational system. He says, "The delusive idea that men merely toil and work for the sake of preserving their bodies and procuring for themselves bread, houses, and clothes is degrading and not to be encouraged. The true origin of man's activity and creativeness lies in his increasing impulse to embody outside of himself the divine and spiritual element within him." Tremendous realization. Would that all of our young people could be graduated into their work life with a preconditioning to this awareness. Today, as we continue in this study of the entrepreneurial revolution, I want to challenge you to think about prosperity and success and the drive for the acquisition of what Aristotle calls the furniture of fortune. We want to consider prosperity in a radical new context, far removed from the mess of pottage that the outer-directed worker is sometimes tempted to sell his soul for. First of all, let's expand our vision a little bit. Let's think about the universe, the whole of things. The tendency is to begin with ourselves, to think of our life out of the context of the whole, thus to identify ourselves as inadequate, helpless, limited, financially insecure, possibly even poor. So we're boxed in before we begin our quest for truth. We may deal with a lot of intellectual ideas. Nothing ever quite reaches us because we're psychologically tightly ensconced in a box. So use your imagination for a little. Let your mind reach out beyond the Earth's horizon to the moon, the planets, the sun, to the stars of our galaxy, the Milky Way, to the vast array of galaxies out, out, out into the farthest reaches and beyond, perhaps without end. Then realize that there is another microcosmic universe within you, beyond the molecules, the atoms, the subatomic particles within particles within particles, to a basic universal substance in which all things are formed. Then realize with excitement that through all the microcosm and the macrocosm, there's no lack. There's only an everywhere present abundance. Abundance is the natural state of affairs in all the universe. Remember, all this vast expanse is by law as inexorable as gravity and just as omnipresent. Whatever the universal substance is not only omnipresent, but it is present in its entirety at every point in space at the same time. Wherever you go, you see evidence of the psalmist's vision. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And the exciting thing is that you've been able to hold this image of the vast cosmos within your mind. So as Sir Arthur Eddington said, the universe appears to be like a great thought. As you think the thought, You're in the universe, and the universe is in you. But the point is, you're not outside the universe looking in. You're an integral part of it, a dynamic center within it. Your life is formed of its basic substance, and your whole experience is ceaselessly supported by that substance. The thing that makes it also very exciting is that you're a creature of consciousness. By your thoughts, you lay hold of the basic universal non-material substance in the form of ideas and images. And by your faith and creativity, you form and shape substance into a process that eventuates in things and jobs and money. But it's important to remember that the root reality of limitlessness. So as Mike Todd once said, you may sometimes be broke, but you can never be poor. Because you're ever in the presence of what Herbert Spencer calls the infinite and eternal energy from which all things proceed. Now, admittedly, you may be fired from a job, but you can never be fired from the universe. You may experience less, but you can never be less than a dynamic center in an opulent universe. As Emerson so effectively puts it, you're an inlet, may become an outlet to all there is in God. There's an article on the front page of the Wall Street Journal a few years ago that said, positive thinking may be the way out of economic malaise. The article went on to decry the excessive pessimism now engulfing us, quoted the president of a large corporation urging business leaders to adopt a more positive attitude to help dispel fears of pending economic doom and restore the confidence of the American people. Economics is basically a psychological phenomenon. The entrepreneur knows that the success of a business is strongly influenced by the attitudes of the executives and even more of the workers. So it is important for all of us to make a commitment to let the prosperity and success of our employer begin with our positive thoughts and words. So when we're talking about salary, jobs, the economy in general, let something good be said. Whether you may be talking about people, the stock market, the level of employment, inflation, high cost of living or whatever, let something good be said. Imagine that you have a rubber stamp with a large plus sign. Every time something comes across your desk, or perhaps crosses your mind, in your imagination, stamp it with the plus. If you used to engage in conversation about the bad economy, about things like how expensive everything has become, talk about only those things that you want to see live and grow. Take some thoughts from Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This says without equivocation that if you do certain things, there's prosperity for you. If you refuse to follow the race attitudes and beliefs of limited thinking, and instead keep your mind stayed on God, and live within the framework of this insight of God consciousness, then you'll be prospered in everything you do. For ages, people have believed that if they did wrong, they would be punished for it. Many find it hard to believe that they can be rewarded for doing something right. Most folks think that life's evidence shows that penalty is consistent, but recompense is uncertain. Fear is often a far greater influence on man than faith. Many persons feel that prosperity and success are simply the result of good luck. Charles Fillmore said, "There are no accidents in the law of being. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." This is another way of saying that for every cause there's an adequate effect. The law of sequence and consequence is the balance wheel of the universe. Thoughts of Charles Fillmore. I don't know very much about business cycles. Apparently I'm in good company because neither do most of our leading economists. But what I do know is that by the law of sequence and consequence, someone sets forth a limited belief. It starts somewhere. It spreads like fire. Sweeps across the country. Business conditions generally reflect the thoughts of people. But what really counts for you is that your own prosperity or lack of it reflects your thoughts. You never make any headway in this business of prosperity and personal success. Do you accept that? Take charge of your own mind. Be willing to own your own thoughts. What are your attitudes toward business, toward money, toward work? Financial crises, as far as they affect and influence you, begin with you. You may not totally cause them, but if you're fearful of them, if you give them reality by your constant talk about them, then you're responding to the counsel of the ungodly, and they become a profound influence on your life. To simplify it, it's a matter of addition and subtraction. By your thinking, you're adding to your good, or you're taking away from it. Failure and lack in your experience are simply the result of continuously minusing yourself. Conversely, prosperity and success are a matter of constantly plussing yourself. Your negative, fearful, worried thoughts are actually taking away from you the substance of your good. And your positive, optimistic thoughts are in a very real way adding to your good. We're told, to them that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. A physician has said that all disease is congestion, and all other ailments are but an intensifying of congestion. This is true of the mind. When it is congested with negative, pessimistic thoughts, it's no longer a clear and open channel. The byword in medical science today is cholesterol. Everybody talks about it. Everything you eat either gives you cholesterol or doesn't. They have a butter that's called cholesterol-free butter. I like to think that the bigger problem for all of us, though we pay little attention to it, is what I call mental cholesterol. That which blocks the mind and prevents the free flow of spiritual substance in our life. How do we correct this congestion? The psalmist says, delight thyself in the Lord. The word delight in its root meaning means to incline. The psalmist's promise results in delighting in or inclining to the belief that the true object of your conscious experience should be in thinking the positive thought of infinite supply. In this law doth he meditate both day and night. If you keep your mind stayed on the idea of perfect, inexhaustible supply, then the promise is whatsoever he doeth will prosper. It's a wonderful promise, and it works. The outer-directed person tends to focus on material goals, salary increases, more responsible positions, and the money to purchase all the things that make for what we call the good life. But the entrepreneur focuses on ideas and the means that will enable him to accomplish his creative goals. You know, I was thinking about the future of money. I think money is on its way out. In an increased computerized society, we will soon be able to match Jesus of 2,000 years ago, who went forth without script or purse. Friends, at the supermarket checkout counter, instead of receiving a cash register tally and paying for the goods with cash or check, we simply hand the clerk our special card, which will be put in a slot, to provide the code to our account at the bank, and our account will instantly be debited, while the store will instantly be credited. Voila, that quickly. No money handled at all. I think that's a wonderful development. I don't like to carry money. What is money? You ever thought about that? What is money? You think of it as something that's very dynamic, something positive, and people say, if I have money, I'll never have another problem in life. What is it? The economists have had a problem defining it, other than in terms of the function it performs. Money is an enabling symbol. That's all. It's a tangible representation of an intangible universal substance, which enables you to provide food, shelter, clothing, entertainment, books, leisure, and security against want. But how does it do this? You don't build your house out of paper dollars. You don't eat coins. Money is an enabling symbol that gives rise to faith and trust and credit and cooperation, which starts a flow of activity. I hand the grocer a $50 bill. It used to be a $10 bill, but it has to be a $50. I have to give him a $50 to get his attention anymore. But I give him the money, and he gives me some food. He gives money to the food distributors, and they to the suppliers, and they to the farmers. He uses the money to buy seed and feed. Round and round it goes in a process that we call the economy. But in back of it all comes the basic substance of life. Prosperity books use as examples such tycoons such as Henry Ford and Andrew Carnegie to illustrate how you too can become a millionaire. But the fact is, these people did not set out to make money at all. In each case, there was the sudden or progressive unfoldment of an idea, which in turn was translated into automobile plants and steel mills. The real substance that enabled these entrepreneurs to achieve what they did was ideas. Ideas are the flowing forth into mind of the wealth of the universe. And every person has his own unique pipeline to the allness of infinite mind. So if you want to pattern your life and work after some tycoon role model, call to mind Paul's great thought, and let the same mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. You see, you have open access in you to the same infinite mind resource that which flowed so creatively through any person who has amassed great wealth by producing great things. You need to become familiar with the word unlimited. There's no limit in the universe. There's no limit in God. And there's no limit to you in God consciousness. However, in human consciousness, it's quite different. There are distinct limitations to money and boundary lines to property. There's no point in kidding yourself that your $1,000 a week salary will handle a Park Avenue penthouse, or that your car will take you across the country without refueling. These are limitations. But through keeping yourself focused on the idea of limitless and ever-present flow of universal substance, you'll expand your consciousness of supply, which means your ability to receive an increase in the flow of abundance, which will manifest in normal and natural ways. Emphasize normal and natural ways. We tend to think often in terms of supernatural, lose sight of the reality of the universality of all things. Now, a couple of parental don'ts. Don't indulge in the fantasies of magic demonstration. Don't delude yourself that money problems will be solved by simplistic solutions. Don't pin your hopes on winning the lottery or finding a bag of money that falls out of a Brinks truck. It's amazing how many persons, when they begin to think of demonstrating prosperity, think in these ways, magic outworkings. Your prosperity is not a matter of luck. Emerson says, foolish people deal with luck. Wise people deal with cause and effect. Life is consciousness. It begins within you. So if there's a condition of lack in your life, in some way, you probably have been projecting the focus of a lack mentality. You may not be aware of it. But consciousness never lies. So take charge of your life by assuming responsibility for your thought. This is the way of the entrepreneur. Become centered in the limitlessness of universal substance. This will lead you to a new level of relating to life. And things will begin to happen. Investments will show greater growth. Salaries may increase. Pregnant ideas will pop into your mind. Doors of opportunity will open up to you. To focus on abundance is also to awaken a sense of fiscal responsibility for wisdom and good judgment in incurring indebtedness. A prosperity consciousness is not achieved through a credit card. Emmett Fox used to say that some persons think they're stepping out on faith. They're really only stepping out on Wanamaker's or on Macy's. In most cases, while we're working to realize a new kind of prosperity, current TV ads notwithstanding, do leave home without it. But don't leave home without being centered in the creative flow of substance. In most metaphysical teachings to the contrary, never pray for money. It makes about as much sense as standing in the fresh out of doors praying for air. All the air you want or need is present, and you're alive within it. The need is not for more air, but for right breathing. So instead of praying for money, pray for a recentering of your consciousness, where you know and know that you know that you're an inlet and may become an outlet to all there is in God. It's a mighty important realization. Paul says, "My God shall fill every need of yours according to his riches." The creative intention of the universe is inexorable in its will to flow forth to fill every need. But the universe can't fill your lack. This is one thing that God cannot do. Because lack is a limited state of consciousness. You have to change that consciousness. It's like going to a free-flowing fountain with a cup to be filled. Hold the cup upside down. There's no way it can be filled. Turn it over, and instantly filled to overflowing. And it is this overflow that is the main stock in trade of the entrepreneur. The overflow of substance. Again, using the symbol of the cup, the tendency for many folks is to think of taking the cup to the company paymaster to be filled, taking it to the bank and emptying it into your account. The entrepreneurship involves a complete reversal of this process. We're already one with all substance, but we can only have the use of that which we can give away, that which we can give way to, release through our work, through our relationships. The outer directed worker is a taker. The entrepreneur is a giver. The taker depletes the energy of a company, of a corporation. The giver adds effectively to that energy. He thinks of his work as a place to give. He's not draining the company he works for all the time, taking its energy. He's giving energy to it, becomes a part of its prosperity. The psalmist sings, "My cup runneth over." Is this overflow expressed in the feeling of joy that makes for personal prosperity, which helps to make the employers and the employees prosperous and successful. As Emerson says, let your work be organic. In this way, you will open the door by which the affluence of heaven and earth shall stream into you. A beautiful thought, isn't it? Get the idea of the affluence of heaven and earth streaming into you. In my book, In the Flow of Life, I've used an illustration, which has always had meaning to me. A bolt of lightning crashing into a tree. A fearsome thing to see, but it's dynamic in what's happening. There's an illusion here that many of us may not be aware of. When you see the bolt of lightning, you assume that the lightning is coming from the sky down to the ground. What the eye does not see is a tiny leader bolt of energy shooting down to make contact with the tree. The massive charge that lights up the sky, the lightning that you see, is the voltage of the Earth's mass flowing up to the up the bolt. It's not the lightning from the sky that shatters the tree. It's the charge from within the Earth. In your work, it appears that your job is the means of getting money from the world. But you are a focus of the affluence of heaven and earth. Your work is the contact by which a flow may unfold. But you see, success and prosperity come through you, not to you. So the wise entrepreneur seeks to get into a giving consciousness. And all that he does, especially in his work, he thinks give, not get. Every person starting on a job focuses his attention on the affluence of heaven and earth streaming into him. Get into a giving consciousness. Think of his work and the creative endeavor for the day as giving himself away. And as he gives, he shall receive. That's the law. There's an axiom: when things get tight, something's got to give. In the face of any financial problem, think give. Look for opportunities to get back in the flow by opening the door of giving. Politicians love to say prosperity is just around the corner. But to paraphrase Jesus, prosperity is neither here nor there. It is within you. It could be said that the road to economic recovery for you, for the company you work for the world in which we all live, begins with you. Think abundance. Think give. Be an entrepreneur. I'd like you to get still with me for a moment. I want you to exercise your imagination. As we suggested earlier, see yourself going out into the universe, beyond the moon, the sun, the planets, stars of the galaxy, and the millions and millions and millions of galaxies throughout the world. See yourself in the middle of all of this. Get your thoughts centered on the idea that the whole universe, as far as you're concerned, has but one purpose, one goal, one urge, is to pour itself into and through you as a creative activity. Your need is to accept it. Just get the feeling now for a moment. Out and away from all the distractions of your work, and your relationships, and your bills, and your goals, your desire for things. Out in the universe, where you're free from distractions, get the sense of the whole universe rushing, streaming, pouring into you from all sides. The affluence of heaven and earth pouring through you. While you just relax and be receptive. Make a commitment now that you'll carry with you this image, this vision. Think of yourself as being charged with the responsibility of becoming a channel to which this infinite substance, creative activity, may flow. Perhaps this is why the word work from the Latin voco means I call, a calling. You have been called in a way beyond knowing to become a channel for the outpouring and the outflow of this infinite substance. Whether you know it or not, in whatever work you may be involved, you have a responsibility to keep in tune, to know that you're an inlet and may become an outlet to all there is in God. Make a commitment to what we call entrepreneurship. The responsibility to take control of your mind and to be a channel through which prosperity and security and success may manifest in the work you do in love and joy. Let there be prosperity, let there be abundance for all, let there be an elimination of poverty and hopelessness throughout all the world. Let it begin with you and me. You shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free.